Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing lawyers for global challenges.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It's graduation season. For all the celebrations across the country, all the caps and gowns and hugs and tears, new grads are facing the most daunting job market in years. Commencement speakers still say, follow your dreams, and that is important. But it is tougher when your student loans are looming, your health insurance is about to expire, and the legions of already unemployed are competing for the same jobs you are. This hour on On Point, the class of 2009 goes looking for jobs and survival strategies in the Great Recession of 09. Just last weekend, Michelle Obama, First Lady, talked to graduates at the University of California, Merced, told them to persevere through life's challenges.
So, graduates, when times get tough and fear sets in, think of those people who paved the way for you and those who are counting on you to pave the way for them. Never let setbacks or fear dictate the course of your life.
It's great advice from the First Lady, but it's tough out there right now. Joining me now from New York is Ashley Barton. She's graduating Friday with a degree in journalism from Stony Brook University, where she will give the student commencement address. She's 22 years old and looking for a job in media. Ashley, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
And from Wyckoff, New Jersey, Michael Madormo. He graduated Monday from Boston College, where he majored in international studies. He will be joining, like thousands of others, Teach for America as an English teacher next year. He's 22 years old. Congratulations, new grad, Michael.
Thanks, Tom, for having me.
Also with us from Washington is Sarah Lipka. She covers student life for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Tom.
Ashley, first to you. We'll get the details, but number one, do you have a job? Do you have prospects? In brief, what about your friends?
Well, right now I do not have a job, and I do graduate on Friday, so, you know, it's depressing, but I'm still hoping for something possibly coming up soon. I've been interviewing, and I've made it to some final stages, but have then been rejected. But it's just hard out there, and my friends don't have jobs because we're in journalism, and there really isn't anything available in print for some of my friends. And I'm focusing on broadcasting, and my school of journalism has really trained me to be a triple threat where I can do print, broadcast, and web, but there aren't jobs out there for us. So, you know, and none of my friends have jobs right now, and they're resorting to other things. One of my friends is, you know, reciting the Cheesecake Factory menu, who graduated with a finance degree. I saw it on her Facebook status. So, you know, there's limited jobs out there, and those that are guaranteed aren't guaranteed anymore. You know, nursing and education not necessarily has a job opening for those in the future. And a college diploma has always used to be the ticket to a good job, but there aren't jobs there. You know, and the employment rate is declining, and everything's, I mean, there's no jobs available, so we're just out of luck right now.
Right now, we hope it turns around, but it's tough right now. Michael Madormo, I guess you're not memorizing the Cheesecake Factory restaurant menu. You're going to Teach for America. Was that a plan A or a plan B, Michael?
Well, yes, it was a plan zero coming into the year, but Teach for America does a ton of recruitment on college campuses, and I kind of got swooped into that net of recruitment and fell in love with the organization in the fall, and I was lucky enough to apply and be accepted. So I did not have to really do any job market searching. So I've kind of been, in some ways, unaffected. So I feel really lucky at this point.
Do you look at that as, you know, a career step or a kind of a safety zone, a bunker to weather the storm? And you're going to Hawaii to Teach for America. That's pretty lush. But nevertheless, is that a career path thing or a weather the storm by teaching?
Well, you know, it's a bit of a career path thing, and it's also a decision to address the nation's serious achievement gap in education, especially in terms of African American and Hispanic students. And in Hawaii, it will be more of Native Hawaiian and Filipino Japanese students. We have as you probably know, we have a serious achievement gap in education, and Teach for America does the best it can to address that. So that's the number one priority.
So you're stepping into that breach, and we'll hear more. But Sarah Lipka, give us the big picture here. I'm looking at one estimate. This is from a recruiting and staffing company. Talked to 10 schools this year, found 30 to 40% graduating without jobs or a predetermined plan in place. I saw another survey. This is the National Association of Colleges and Employers, and its spring job outlook said employers plan to hire 22% fewer new grads from the class of 09, but in the Northeast, hiring 39% fewer. All of those are pretty daunting numbers, Sarah.
It's really tough out there. The market's tight. There are fewer jobs. There's more competition with more experienced candidates who may have been laid off. And there are different figures. There's one that I saw recently that 1 in 5 graduating seniors who applied for a job don't yet have one at this point. And the questions now are, how long will hiring be down, and how long will this graduating class feel the effects?
Ashley, we're reading about people, you know, taking sort of extreme steps. Many people, like Michael, thinking about Teach for America or doing it. Others, you know, teaching English in Abu Dhabi or going back to the lifeguard job this summer that they've done for the last, you know, 5 or 6 summers in high school and college, still doing that again. What are you hearing from classmates about the kind of plans they're making if Plan A hasn't worked out?
Well, just like you said, some of my friends are going back to the summer camp jobs that they've had since they were 16 years old. They're going back, and they had told them they weren't going to come back this year because they were graduating. And now they have to, you know, go re-sign their contracts and go back to, you know, go back to the camps. And other people are just, you know, finding jobs, like I said, at the Cheesecake Factory and retail stores. And they have degrees in finance, in education, in nursing, in all different fields, and they can't find a job. And a lot of them are now going to graduate school, but then some can't afford it because they owe so many loans from the past 4 years that graduate school is not even an option to them. And health insurance, you know, it ends for us when we're 22. It ends a couple of months later after we graduate. So we're stuck in this, you know, this limbo, and there's nothing for us to do right now. There's nowhere to go. And yes, there are jobs, but am I qualified? You know, I'm trained to be a journalist. You know, I know how to report the news. But at the end of the day, I can't be a nursing assistant where they are have a job opening. I don't have the qualifications. So where do I go?
Sarah, what about those who have loans? A lot of American fresh graduates will. I'm looking here. The average undergraduate today leaves college with more than $22,000 in debt. Many graduate and professional students leave with $100,000 and more. Do the bills start coming right away? I don't know, a month after you graduate? Or is there a pause before you have to start paying? What if you don't have a job?
Well, if you don't have a job, there are different ways that you can think about loan deferral. There are different standards for federal and private loans, how you'd be eligible to apply for that loan deferral, to get that loan deferral. Sometimes if you're enrolled as a student at least half time, then you can offset your loans. You can postpone them for later. That is one of the reasons that I've heard some students tell me that they're applying to graduate school, that they're going straight to graduate school, is because at least if they're still enrolled, then they won't have to start paying back those loans.
Ashley, I'm reading here. Here's a comment to us from Facebook from Nick, and he says, in this environment, only the best will get jobs. When you look around, Ashley, is that what you see?
I mean, one of my girlfriends, she got a job at Ernst & Young as an account. She's an accounting major, and she had a 4.0. And one of our other good friends had a 3.2 and just, you know, took all the classes with her, and it really is the best of the best. And not even that, it's just the competition we're going against. It's such a stiff competition that it's not just graduating seniors competing for these jobs. It's these adults that are, you know, older and have the experience who are competing as well. So it really is the best of the best who is most qualified.
Michael, you've got your situation nailed down with Teach for America. What do you, lucky you, good for you. What do you hear from friends who got jobs or who don't have jobs? What's the range of stories, kind of stories you're hearing?
Yeah, I'm hearing a range of different stories. I mean, I have good friends who had worked at investment banking firms and lost their jobs due to the fallout.
Last fall.
I have another one who's still working at Barclays. He was working investment bank. He didn't lose his. I have another friend who's going to Honduras for a year. I have friends that are kind of just doing that, you know, year abroad service type thing. I have friends who are doing Jesuit Volunteer Corps in the United States, doing a year of service. So I have a lot of friends who are taking that route of just of doing a year or 2 years of service in order to avoid looking for a job, essentially. But I'm also in the spirit of the service.
And what about those who are just sort of lowering their job targets to make a living, to eat? Waiting tables or whatever. Is there a stigma attached to that or not in this environment?
Yeah, I would say not at all. I mean, I know a few friends that have said, yeah, I'm going to go look for a waiting job for a while until I can find a job. I said, that makes perfect sense. I mean, that's like a just a very, very normal thing to say at this point, because everyone knows that, you know, people have sent out 40 or 50 applications and heard back from one place and then ended up getting rejected anyway. So I think it's a very normal thing.
Sarah Lipka, what kind of advice are these grads getting from the career counseling centers at their schools? There's no magic bullet here. What are they being told?
Well, I think they're being told and they're responding to the idea that they have to be more flexible in this kind of market, more flexible on what sort of company they want to work for, maybe a smaller company versus a larger company, be flexible in the industry and on the geographic location. And I've seen a lot of career centers really reaching out to alumni and trying to do networking with alumni, particularly through technology, to put graduating seniors in touch with people in fields who might be able to help them.
Might be able to help them, but it looks as though some significant portion are just going to be out there weeks, months, who knows, after graduation, scrambling for that paycheck.
I'd say that's true, and there is definitely some anxiety about that. There is a poll out yesterday from the Associated Press that said about 57% of students were feeling concerned about not being able to find a job. But at the same time, I've heard some relief, a sense that there's pressure lifted. There's that obligatory question around graduation time, you know, what are you doing after graduation?
Right.
And it's usually asked with a lot of expectation, and now it's asked with almost more sympathy.
So the expectations may be lowered enough to take the pressure off a little, and still, a person's got to eat, got to make a living. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the class of 2009 up against the toughest job market in years. Here, again, just last weekend, Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig telling the University of Wisconsin's graduates they have what it takes to weather this economic storm.
Do not be fearful of these times, and do not be fearful of the future. I urge each of you to dream big dreams. I urge you to accept the challenge, be courageous, seek the vision to be the very best you can.
Bud Selig talking to the University of Wisconsin there. Go out and do it. Have the courage to do it. Ashley, Michael, here's a comment from our website from Fred. And he says, the current climate reminds me of when I graduated college in 1982, says Fred. He said, I lived at home, worked part-time, didn't get a full-time job for 3 years. Makes me appreciate where I'm at now even more. To be honest, he says, I resented the sense of entitlement that many college grads seem to have during the boom years. How about it, Ashley? You know, this notion that your generation came up in a time when everybody thought everybody was going to be beautiful. Fred saying you're not the first ones to face headwinds coming out of school.
I mean, it's just a hard time for, I guess it was a hard time for him and a hard time for us now. And it just overall, it's just horrible for us. And I don't even know what to do now, but I do hope, and I'm not giving up. I don't think this is the end of it yet. I think there's so much out there. We have to just find it and seek those smaller industries and, you know, build contacts and network with people we've met throughout the years through internships and different organizations. And I'm not giving up yet, and I know it's hard, and people are, you know, just going to the last resort, but I feel it also has to do with your passion and what you you did graduating because you believe in that and you love that. And I'm not going to settle for something that's just to pay the bills. I want something that is something that I believe in and I love, and it's my passion.
Who wouldn't want that? Let's hear from Deb in Glastonbury, Connecticut. Deb, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Deb.
You know, I wanted to just give a little advice and thoughts because I graduated in the late 80s, and it was a similar situation. Did not have a job coming out of school. And one of the angles I took was temping, because temping has really changed. You know, it's not administrative assistant type roles, there's a lot of different opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a couple of large organizations through a temp agency, and that's actually how I found my way into, you know, my career path. So it is an option to avoid the Cheesecake Factory and possibly get some good experience to, pave the way for the career.
Deb, we got it, and thank you. Michael, what about it? Do you see that kind of flexibility, people willing to sort of fresh out of school sign up for temp work and, then make of it what they will?
Oh, yeah, I see my friends being extremely flexible. It seems like kind of whatever opportunity they get their hands on, they're gonna go for. And I think we're particularly adept to be flexible, our generation, because we're able to do a lot of different things. We you know, we are the internet generation, I guess. So we're able, we learn very quickly. You know, everything's kind of go, 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 go. So I think we're if any generation, we're more adept to that kind of flexibility.
And good, you'll need it, and eventually it works. Deb says, Paul in Long Island, you're on the air, Paul. Hello, Paul, are you there?
I'm graduating next week from a small college on Long Island, and I'm going to be a teacher.
Congratulations.
There's a tight market out there, certainly with the crisis, the budget crisis and whatnot, but I think there's some hope for the future because through my hard work and my student teaching experience, you know, I really impressed the teacher that I was working with, so much so that she called me back just a little while ago telling me that her position is going to be open and she really wants to recommend me for the job, so I think there's some hope for some of us, you know, who are willing to work hard.
So there's hope, Paul, but did you hope to have a job nailed down by now? It doesn't sound like you're quite there yet.
No, I'm not quite there yet, you know, and it's such a tight market that I think any interviews and anything that we can go on at this time are beneficial to us. So it's not nailed down, but I'm hoping to be on a short list for that job in the coming weeks.
And if it as you wait, or if it doesn't work out, what's your plan B?
Well, plan B is just to get my resume out to every possible school district on Long Island, and then if it works out with that, move into the city.
And, you know, where would you live? With your folks, or to bunk up with some other people? I mean, how do you survive?
Well, I mean, I think like the people have been talking about on your show, I think you got to be really flexible if you're really looking to get into a school district that you're willing to. And I'm flexible. You know, it depends. I would look forward to living in the city and starting a new kind of life if that's what it came down to.
We wish you luck with it. Thanks very much for calling, Paul. Sarah Lipka, when this class of 2009 came into college, they were very often told that, you know, you're in a great spot because the boomers are going to start retiring just as you come out of college. That should be making a lot of room for you. I guess that's not exactly perhaps working out as anticipated, as people work longer.
Well, that's tricky. And this class came into college at a time when people were graduating and most often getting jobs and finding them right away. And there was that expectation of the boomer retirement, too. But with what's happened with their retirement savings, people are staying in the workforce longer, and the positions that this class may have thought they'd see open up really aren't opening up.
Let's go to Natalie in Boston. Hi, Natalie. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah.
I went straight from undergrad to grad school. I graduated from grad school in January. I started looking in September for jobs to give myself like a 4-month lead.
Running room, yeah.
Yep. I was looking in the healthcare industry, and I thought that should be easy. I figured the healthcare industry, hospitals, insurance companies, that's where I was looking. And let me tell you, there was nothing, and there were no openings. And I'd say after about 3 months, I was really starting to lose hope because the graduation date is quickly approaching.
What was your graduate degree in, Natalie?
My master's in public health.
Okay. So there you are. You're looking. You're putting out a lot of lines. Nothing's
frantic.
Coming back.
I'm frantic. And I was one of those people who had 5 internships. I had done it all. And then my mom, who was a federal employee, or a formal federal employee, recommended that I look into government jobs. And I thought, there's no way that there would be a government job for somebody like me. I just pictured the government as, you know, the DMV. Do you know what I mean? So I guess as a last resort, I went online, and sure enough, there were so many openings. I was astounded. I applied to 9 openings on the first time that I looked on the job site, and I'm happy to say that I am a federal employee. I'm a research scientist for the VA. I love my job, and the pay that I get here is nearly twice as much as what I would get in the private sector.
So it sounds like it worked out in the end. A close call, but you found it in the government. Are you happy with the idea of a lifetime as a government employee, or you'll play it as it goes?
I'm going to play it as it goes, and I would really like to get the word out there to anybody, whether it's health or marketing or, I mean, really anything. Go to usajobs.gov and just see what's there. You might really be surprised. I know I was.
Natalie, congratulations. Thanks for your call. Sarah Lipka, how about it? I'm looking at a recent story here where the Office of Housing and Urban Development Secretary is saying, we need a whole lot of people. We need them soon. With a new administration coming in, what about government as an employer? Is it I mean, we've still got some high unemployment here, but is that a big opportunity? Are many people going to it?
I think it is a big opportunity. There are some universities that offer some loan forgiveness for public service jobs, and some government service jobs might qualify for that. I think it's a field that people are looking in. This is a graduating class that was involved quite a bit in the presidential election and in their work in the campaign, and I think that government jobs are probably on their minds more than they used to be.
Ashley, Michael, how do you look at that stream, government jobs? You first, Ashley.
I mean, I'm definitely going to go to that website when I leave here today and tell all my friends at my school. But I think that's, if it works out for me, I mean, that's a great opportunity, and I'm definitely going to check it out, and hopefully it will lead to something, because I'm still believing in finding a job soon.
Michael, you are working for the government with Teach for America. Does that, among your friends, does that look like an attractive option, Teach for America or beyond, some kind of work in the Obama administration, somewhere in the government? You know, there was a time not long ago where it was private sector was the go-go world.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody wants to work for Obama. But I was actually down in D.C. last summer, and I think working for the government is an amazing route. I mean, you get the G salary scale. You can quickly rise up in that salary scale. The jobs can be much more comfortable and enjoyable than in the private sector. And that was going to be my destination. It was going to be Washington, looking for kind of pounding the pavement, looking for jobs on Capitol Hill or elsewhere.
So it sounds like there's no stigma there, as there may have been with, I don't know, a decade ago. Maybe the opposite. Maybe it's attractive.
Oh, definitely. I think for me, they would have been a lot more attractive.
Michael in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're on the air, Michael.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a father of six, and I've got kids ranging in age from 5 to 17, my oldest being 17 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, my wife and I, we sit down and we wonder about just the overall the value of a college education today versus some of my kids who I think are going to go to college, who I know are going to go to college, but others who I think may be better off maybe getting in an industry now and spending the next 4 years after graduating from high school securing a job that they can advance in
mm-hmm.
over time, because
mm-hmm.
the college education just does not guarantee anything anymore.
Let us pick it up, Michael, and good luck with those six kids, with the whole kit and caboodle there. What about it? I mean, we're talking about college grads today, but of course there's all kinds of graduations going on. There's junior college, community college graduation. There's high school graduation. Not everybody's going to college. Sarah, what about the payoff here? Is it working out for the class of 09? And what about Michael's question looking forward?
Michael raises a really good point, and there is still an advantage to going to college. There's some Census Bureau data that says that the average salary of a college grad is still significantly higher than someone with just a high school diploma. And the last unemployment rates that I saw in April for the 20 to 24-year-old group, who would be, you know, just out of college for the traditional age students, 6% unemployment if you had a college degree and 19% unemployment if you had just a high school diploma.
Wow, so watch out.
There still is that advantage of going to college. There are also other options like co-op programs where you can work while you're in college, and that might give you some experience in the industry and contacts for jobs in a way that going to a traditional four-year college wouldn't.
Michael, Ashley, when you talk to your peers, do you hear anybody saying, why did I do this? I've got debt. I spent 4 years. Maybe I should have just been out there. Or that doesn't come up at your end, Michael.
No, definitely not. I mean, I think there's definitely a value to a college education besides the immediate getting a job too. I know I've grown immensely as a person, but even on the more practical side, I think, you know, even in the time where it looks like a college degree doesn't matter very much, I think most of the time you're going to find people that are finding jobs are going to be these people that did well in college. You know, they're not. I don't think, you know, going straight from high school to trying to find a job is going to help all that much.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Ashley, what about majors? I mean, I'm reading here Crane's New York Business says even traditionally bulletproof majors like business and engineering have turned out to be vulnerable in this recession. You're in journalism. That's a field that's having particularly tough times right now. But what about if you look across the terrain of different majors that your friends have, do you see some doing better or worse because of the educational background they've got now?
I mean, the educational background, you know, all my friends are very educated. They've gone through the 4 years now. We're all graduating together. We completed in the 4 years. But those who, you know, went to nursing, who were, you know, nursing is considered a guaranteed job.
Yeah.
You know, now the hospitals are closing out in Long Island. You know, there are hospitals closing here and there, and there aren't jobs. And yes, they say they're, you know, they're, the jobs are cut, but people aren't finding jobs right now. And even education, I know there's Teach for America, and that's an option. But some people just want to stay in local school districts, and they don't have, they didn't, you know, they didn't have the option to even do that. So I feel it's just, you know, those guaranteed majors aren't guaranteed anymore. But I will tell you, when it comes to journalism, you know, everything is going to the web, and my school of journalism has taught me how to do broadcasting for the web and do print for the web. And, I mean, this is a digital age, so you have to have that technical skill, and that's what us young graduates have over these adults and recent people who have been, you know, let go. We have that upper hand in terms of our technology. So that's the one thing I do know, regardless of the job market, that we have technological skills that most people don't have right now.
Ashley, what is your conversation like with your parents at this point, if I may ask? I mean, I'm sure they're supporting you and sympathetic, but at the same time, you know, have they said, Ashley, if you need to come home, you're very welcome. Have you asked? You know, what are their expectations in this environment?
Well, originally my intentions were to, you know, get an apartment because I thought I'd have a job
sure.
by now, and I'd have my own apartment with one of my girlfriends from school. But, you know, I'm going home now. You know, my lease is up on my apartment right now, and I'm moving back as of June 15th. And they told me, my mom's a principal, so she said, you know, Ashley, do you want to come, you know, be a substitute teacher? But I said to her, you know, I'm a journalism major, and that's my passion. That's where I am. You know, that's what I want to do is report the news. But she's like, well, why don't you come substitute teach until you find something? So that is an option to me. So, you know, if that's what I have to do in terms of while I wait and I interview, then I possibly will do that. But it all depends on how things are going. And, you know, I'm interviewing, and I'm not giving up yet because there are jobs. We have to just wait, and they're going to come to us.
Michael, how about you, your crew? Do you have friends who are headed home after graduation to live? How do they feel about that?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who are headed home. I think probably the majority are headed home. And, you know, it's kind of, like we were saying before, there's not really a taboo stuck to it, and it's kind of a resignation to it. I'm going to go home for a while. I'm going to find a job and keep, you know, keep pounding the pavement, I guess, online. You know, keep sending out resumes, keep sending out applications until something hits.
Let's get a call from Sunil in Boston. Sunil, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
My point was more of demand supply, and I have two nephews graduating this year, and similar to earlier where she got and found a job in the government industry, I am actually talking my nephew into visiting India. Go see what job market's out there. You know, a country that's going at 7% compared to what we have here, definitely he would end up getting a job to his liking over there. You know, at the end of the day, if you're going to move out of the house in an apartment, does it really matter whether it's here or India?
Is it an option if you're not Indian-American, if you don't have language skills or cultural familiarity, Sunil?
Not really. I mean, the corporate world out there speaks English, and that's the dominant language there. So as long as you can communicate in English, I think you'd be okay in the corporate world.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the class of 2009 up against the toughest job market in years. Here's fashion designer and activist Kenneth Cole telling the 2,700 graduates recently of Northeastern University the country needs them now more than ever.
This is an extraordinary time in our history. If you believe your role on this planet is to make a difference, not just in your own, but in other people's lives, there may never be a better chance than now. Never before has there been as much broken that needs to be fixed.
Ashley Barton is here. She'll graduate Friday with a degree in journalism from Stony Brook University. She will give the student commencement address there. Michael Madormo is headed off to Teach for America in Hawaii. Doesn't sound too bad. Sarah Lipke is with us from the Chronicle of Higher Education. And Sarah, I know I've just got you for another minute here. What's your best advice, Sarah? What are you hearing out there for the class of 09?
My best advice to students is to be flexible. I've talked to students who are going to find whatever job they can, waiting tables, working in retail, and then maybe trying to do an internship at the same time in a field where they're interested in pursuing a career just to keep up that experience and keep up those contacts.
So be flexible and keep on going. Sarah, thank you very much for being with us this hour.
Thank you, Tom.
I want to bring in right now Michael Schaub from Washington. He's executive director of the Career Education Center at Georgetown University. Mike Schaub, thanks a lot for being here. Hello, Mike, you there? We'll get Mike in just a second. Hello, Mike, you there? Let's go to a caller. Ryan, Providence, Rhode Island. You're on the air, Ryan.
Hi, Tom. I'm just graduating. I graduated on Saturday with a degree in library science.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. And it's really difficult to find a job in the public sector right now because we're really unsure where government funding is coming from. And that last caller brought up a point that he was telling his nephews to move or to look at India. And I have Irish citizenship, and I think I'm going to look there for a job.
In Ireland? To be a librarian, maybe, in Ireland?
Anything, any kind of government service job. I also have a sociology undergraduate degree. And, I mean, the real advantage to Ireland is, you have health care there, whereas it's really difficult to find any kind of job with health care now in this country.
Right. Ryan, when did it become clear to you that this was going to be tough? When did you first, realize that, my degree may not get me the job I hoped for?
I think sometime last semester. I had a son in February, and it kind of became clear that libraries weren't sure where their funds were coming from and that they were having more cutbacks in staffing because of government funding lacking.
Yeah, well, we wish you luck, whether it's here or in Ireland. And thanks for your call. Let's go to Cedar Rapids,
hi.
Iowa, and Kobe. Kobe, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have been a nurse for almost 7 years, and for the last year I've been teaching in a community college.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that my students are definitely very nervous about graduating and taking their boards. And one of the things that I try to stress to them is it's not necessarily the environment they think it's going to be, where people are fighting over them and everyone's going to be whining and dining them. Particularly in our community, we just have two hospitals, so there's not a lot of options. And if they would be willing to, now many of my students are older and have kids, so that's not necessarily an option for them to relocate. But if they can be a little more creative and maybe a little bit, make a few sacrifices for their first job, go maybe find a job somewhere else, because there are healthcare jobs out there, there are hospital jobs. It's just maybe not right in front of you. And go and gain some experience, and then maybe can be more competitive, or the market will improve. So just a little.
Yeah, be prepared to move if necessary. A lot of Americans have heard that for many years. But Kobe, can you shed some light on Ashley has friends who got the nursing degree thinking that would nearly guarantee them work, and it hasn't. Now, what's up with that?
Oh, well, I think it just really depends on where you're looking. I heard her say earlier that some hospitals are closing on Long Island. That's definitely the case in some areas, and like, when I finished nursing school, the market was much better, but I put my resume on Monster and had a lot of recruiters calling me to maybe open my eyes to areas I wouldn't necessarily look. Definitely in the Midwest, people are pretty rooted and don't tend to go very far.
Mm.
But if they can, it's a big country, and there can be opportunities if you're maybe a little creative.
And willing to go for them. Let us look at that, Kobe.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Michael. Ashley, Michael, what about it? I mean, Michael, you're going to Hawaii, but do you find your classmates in general geographically ready to go where the jobs might be, wherever that is, or not?
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely. I know I mentioned before one of my roommates is going to Honduras. He had a few connections there by way of service trips in college. And they offered him a volunteer position, which they're going to give him a basic stipend and probably enough to survive, but not a salary. But I think he's going to end up going. So it's the kind of thing where I think a lot of my friends are ready to go wherever they can, and I think that can be a nice opportunity in that you might find something that you never would have thought was there.
Ashley, how about your peeps? Are they ready to roll wherever they necessary?
I mean, everyone's different when it comes to how far they want to leave their families and if they're willing to travel. Because we're from New York City, you know, in New York. So we like the city life. So they're looking in other cities like Georgia, Chicago, you know, very busy areas. But, I mean, I got a job, an internship offer, you know, offering down in Atlanta, Georgia, which I am considering, you know. But we feel like once you graduate, why should you be taking another internship?
When
why
you say internship, do you mean unpaid internship?
Some are doing unpaid, and I mean, the one that I got offered is a paid internship in Atlanta, Georgia.
You've done five internships already. You must feel like I've been there, done that.
I know, and that's my biggest, you know, that's what's holding me back a little bit, that I'm graduating. You know, you automatically expect, you know, a job. And I've got an internship offering, you know, and it's like, should I take it? Should I go to Atlanta, Georgia? You know, will there be other doors there for me that will lead to my success? So, you know, it's something I am considering, but do I need to do that again?
We've got Mike Schaub with us now from Washington. He's head of the Career Education Center at Georgetown University. Mike, thanks very much for being there.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
So what are you seeing about just how tough it is, and what advice are you giving to grads looking out on this tough economy, Mike?
Well, it certainly has been very difficult for graduating seniors, as you've been hearing. We've been preparing our seniors since they came to campus in September for this job search. We just knew from working with our employers through the summertime that things were going to get very rough, and certainly we didn't predict that we'll have this type of economy. So we've been doing special creative programming throughout the year to help students with networking, with alumni, teaching them about different careers in some of the hotter industries like government, accounting, some areas of healthcare that depends on the location. So it's been a difficult year, but we've been trying to prepare students as best as we can.
Are there fields out there that just have nothing going on? And how do you feel as, you know, you're part of a university, how do you feel about watching students major in those, labor away at those for 4 years, and then hit a wall?
That's a very difficult thing, Tom. We have students who came in as freshmen thinking that they would work on Wall Street because during their 4 years at Georgetown, the investment banking and finance and other consulting types of jobs have been very hot.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden they find out during the summertime that those jobs, they're still there, but they've decreased substantially. And so it involves really a mind shift. It involves kind of a changing of identity and aspirations. Now, we tell them there are still finance and banking jobs out there. They may not be on Wall Street, but there are boutique firms throughout the country that in which they can still use those finance and business skills.
We have heard in recent years about some universities where as many as 40% of a graduating class might be going into finance. I mean, that's just enormous. If there is a mind shift going on, Mike, you're right in the middle of this. In what direction do you sense it's going? Where's the wave or waves headed?
Well, the wave we saw initially was from finance to consulting, and then unfortunately we found that the consulting firms also were cutting back substantially. So at that point, the students came into the Career Center and they worked with our counselors and advisors to really think about why they wanted to go into finance, what skills did they want to use. So we kind of looked at the whole picture, and we have found that there are employers who may not have thought originally that they had a shot at Georgetown seniors who now are coming to campus, and we're doing a lot of employer relationship building with them because now they have a good chance of getting some top talent. So we're still placing students in different finance firms. Maybe it's at a smaller bank. Maybe it's at a location in the country in which the student did not originally consider.
What about compensation, Mike? I'm reading here, you know, that in general, graduates who come into a recession earn 7 to 8% less in their first year and then have lower earnings for many years. This isn't just an ordinary recession. What do you see happening with compensation for that first job, and what does it mean for the life, you know, the career life of these new grads?
Well, this is new for us as well, and we're currently conducting our senior survey in which we ask students about their employer's salary information, location. So we'll take a look at those data, but you're right, starting salaries will be lower. However, what we look at is this is a building process. So students will work in their first job for a year or two, and they'll gain experiences, and they'll develop their contacts and their network. Then from there, they'll reconsider, and they may move on to something that's going to have a higher-paying salary. So we're not sure what's going to happen, and you know, the first step is to get them out there and to get them some experience.
Let's hear from Jessica in New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Jessica. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm graduating from the Yale School of Nursing next week as a nurse midwife, and I think a lot of us thought that going into the medical field we would have instant jobs, as other people have said. And I found when I was looking for jobs that I couldn't be selective. I originally was thinking of going to Portland, Oregon, or the Bay Area, but folks aren't looking to hire new grads, and so I've taken a position at a birth center in Guam, and I'm moving to Guam in July.
Guam, on the other side of the Pacific Ocean.
Yes, indeed, but there's a job for me there that'll pay off my loan.
Wow, that's great, and good luck with it. Enjoy it. That will be an experience, birthing in Guam. Sanjay, Columbia, South Carolina, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Tom. I'm Sanjay Ahire. I'm a professor of global supply chain and operations management in the Moore School of Business here in South Carolina.
Great.
And we have some exciting things going on here, and I want to talk about the role of university programs and professors in making things happen in this tough economy for their students. What we have done here is, and this is a long story, but I'll make it short. We have really created a program where we are providing our students twin competencies in supply chain management, including domains like sourcing and distribution logistics.
Right.
And also in business process excellence on the Lean and Six Sigma side. Those in the audience who are aware of Lean Six Sigma campus.
But how do you get them a job, Professor Sanjay?
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, we have connected our students directly to the industry through a center that we have instituted. It's called Global Supply Chain and Process Management Center. And we have partnered firms like Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson and Westinghouse that actually work with our students on capstone consulting projects that actually improve the bottom line performance for these companies.
But aren't they up against the economy as well? Are they hiring as many as they normally would, even at those big companies?
Well, actually, what happens is our students actually come out with some very unique qualifications, including Green Belt certification, and that really jacks up or bumps up their potential to earn higher salaries as well as multiple offers. And I'll give you the statistic. We actually have placed our students and have been placing our students in companies like Bank of America, Boeing, Deloitte and Kirsch, Eaton, Ingersoll Rand.
Yeah.
The list goes on. And these students are actually getting placed in quite high salary bracket. Many of them have multiple offers from these companies.
Sanjay, it's a good story, and we're glad to hear it. It sounds like you've got good linkage, and that's a good word to keep in mind. Though we know those companies may face their own headwinds, but thank you for your call. I want to get a couple more here. We're on a roll. Bob in Boston, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Ashley, you will get a job. You will be great. You'll be very successful. Your commencement speech has got to be your premier audition tape, and
okay.
I would really work on that. You're trying to break into a field, I think, that's very hard to get into. But if you persevere, you pound the pavement, as everybody suggested, you'll do great. And in the meantime, substitute teach and live at home.
Do the necessary.
I think everybody's insane within a different way, but people have an obligation, I believe, to get out into the workforce to earn money, pay taxes, get health benefits.
Well, and just get in there. Bob, our time is short, but Ashley, what do you say? What are you going to say in your commencement speech, Ashley?
I'm actually talking to students about, you know, believing in themselves, you know, and believing in hope and ambition and their dreams and not giving up. And believe that you've made it this far and be confident, you know, set goals and, you know, just think positively. And that's what I have been doing. So that's why I'm giving that speech about that. You know, just to remind students, because a lot of them are worried out there. It's the discussion. It's the buzz on campus. You know, am I going to get a job? You know, it's May 22nd. Is there something for me coming up? You know, we graduate that day. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're not giving up. But my only concern is everyone's saying, you know, accept any job for us. Accept whatever you can get right now. But necessarily, I don't want to necessarily go that path of just accepting whatever there is out there. Because then how do I get back on track to what I am focused on?
Yeah, Mike, what's your advice on that front? I mean, you know, there's a logic to each. Just get in there and get to work, get a paycheck, get going. Hold on for your dream, new grad.
Well, you know, even in a hot economy, a lot of students are not going to find their dream job right out of college. So they need a job. So they're going to get out there and they're going to get experience and then move on.
But, Mike, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
You're saying that, you know, students should enter into, you know, a job field and then, you know, get experience. But if I'm a journalism major and there's a job, you know, offering at GEICO, how does that then tie back to me finding a job, you know, 5 years down the line? If I've lost the experience, I don't have the years of experience, I was doing something totally different.
How You're do on I the hot then... seat, Mike. What do you say? We've got just a minute here.
Well, and you're working at GEICO, but you could always do some writing on the side. You can use that as kind of a hobby, or maybe you could write ad hoc for a local paper or something, so that at least you can say that you're doing writing. Or maybe you could break into public relations at GEICO, do your writing, do your press releases, use those transferable skills to find your next job.
Okay.
Oh, so maybe GEICO, maybe journalism. Michael, we're going to think of you sitting there in Hawaii. How long is Teach for America? Is it a one-year, two-year stint?
Two-year stint.
2 years, and on the other side of that, any idea, or you'll take it when it comes?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping the market bounces back by then, but I'm thinking about graduate school, and I think that one of the good things about Teach for America is they do have a lot of connections and getting you in to do whatever you want to do, I guess, after you're done.
Ashley, we're going to think of you on Friday with that big commencement address. What's your last line? Do you have it memorized? What's your final word to your class?
I say congratulations, class of 2009. We did it.
You did it. Now do it. And we wish you all the very best of luck with that. And one way or another, over time, it does work out. So go out there and dive in. Ashley Barton at Stony Brook University. Thank you very much for being with us, Ashley.
Thank you, Tom, for having me on the show.
Michael Madormo just graduated from Boston College. Good luck in Hawaii, Mike.
Thank you, Tom.
And Mike Schaub at Georgetown University. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Good luck, 09. This is On Point.